morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about a bomb threat in Great Falls, community health assessment in Yellowstone County, and the creative solution to wastewater treatment problems in Haver. It's Tuesday, February 11th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. No suspicious devices were found in a search of public schools in Great Falls after a handwritten note that included a bomb threat was found at an elementary school. Local public school officials and law enforcement decided to cancel all public school activities in response to the note. Several private schools also opted to suspend activities yesterday. Great Falls Police Captain Jeff Newton says the note was found just after 5:30 yesterday morning.
The handwritten note contained threatening language, including the specific threat of an explosive device being planted at multiple Great Falls schools.
Yesterday's closures affected more than 11,500 students, including those at Christian schools and the University of Providence, which canceled classes as a precaution. Opportunities Incorporated closed its Head Start program as well, after school activities were also canceled. Surveillance video at the school has given officers a vague description of the suspect, Newton said. Officers aren't releasing the description or specific information about the content of the note while the case is under investigation. Police Captain Newton said local, state, and federal law enforcement officers helped search the schools. Great Falls Superintendent Thomas Moore says classes will resume today. He says schools will not open unless officials believe they are safe and secure. Community members, healthcare providers, and media got their first look at the overall health of Yellowstone County with the release of the latest health needs assessment. Kay Erickson reports mental health, substance abuse, and obesity top the list.
The purpose of today's announcement is to share with you that we are officially publishing our 2020 Community Health Needs Assessment.
The Community Health Needs Assessment report had its official release at a news conference Monday morning in Billings. The CHNA is a report card or snapshot done every 3 years of significant health issues and challenges for residents of Yellowstone County. The data come from a detailed survey of county residents representing the demographics of the population, as well as more than 150 local leaders. The report then ranks the top community concerns based on the responses.
The top priorities were mental health, substance abuse, and then once again, nutrition, physical activity, and a healthy weight.
That's Melissa Henderson with Healthy by Design, part of an alliance of the Billings Clinic, Riverstone Health, and St. Vincent Healthcare that sponsors the survey. The survey identified 13 areas of concern, including sexual health, tobacco and vaping use, and cancer. Henderson said the new data showed improvement from the last survey, including increases in physical activity for both kids and adults, and better access to affordable, healthy foods. And the survey found some improvement in access to health care.
I think a lot of that had to do with health care expansion, as well as just controlling of prescription
costs. Henderson said the next step is to use the data to identify a couple of priorities that the members will focus on to develop programs and services to boost the health and better serve the people who live and work in Yellowstone County. To access the complete 2019-2020 Yellowstone County Community Health Needs Assessment, go to our website, ypradio.org. I'm Kay Erickson, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
U.S. officials say oil production from federally managed lands and waters topped a record 1 billion barrels last year. That's up more than 13% from 2018 as shorter permitting times and technological advances drive development in new areas. The Associated Press obtained the figures in advance of a planned announcement today by the Department of Interior. Critics charge that the gains being made by energy companies come at the expense of the environment, with fewer safeguards to protect the land and wildlife from harm. Oil production royalties collected by the government increased to $7.5 billion in 2019. Officials say Montana hunters will be able to submit meat for chronic wasting disease testing within the state by next hunting season. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle reported Sunday that a Bozeman testing facility is expected to reduce the usual waiting time for hunters to learn if meat is safe to eat. The Montana Department of Livestock's Veterinary Diagnostic Laboratory has purchased equipment to perform tests for the contagious neurological condition affecting deer, elk, and moose. Officials say that by focusing entirely on Montana samples, the facility should be able to report results in days rather than weeks. Several years ago, Havre, Montana, had a problem. Its treated wastewater had too many nutrients. Fixing it was expected to cost millions of dollars. But as Rachel Kramer reports, wastewater workers discovered a cheap, upcycled solution through the magic of chemistry and beer.
So the very first portion of this plant is for phosphorus removal.
Drew Newfield, the superintendent at Havre's wastewater treatment facility, looks out across a series of large outdoor tanks full of something that looks like frothy chocolate milk. Every day, this place turns 1.5 million gallons of waste from sinks, showers, and toilets into clean water to be released into the Milk River just beyond the line of trees. Until recently, the facility had issues with phosphorus and nitrogen. The nutrients can cause algae blooms in rivers, which suck up all the oxygen and kill aquatic life. Newfield says Havre spent over $10 million on upgrades in 2015 in an effort to meet the Environmental Protection Agency's newer, tougher standards.
Which wasn't enough. That upgraded a lot of the old plant as well that just had to be fixed. And that kind of shortened us up.
He says they were going to have to spend tens of thousands of dollars each year on a chemical additive and potentially $1 million on another upgrade.
That's where the barley came in and was able to do what we didn't get.
Across town at Triple Dog Brewing, owner Michael Garrity walks past his large, shiny fermenters in the back and opens the garage door.
I just brewed yesterday, so.
Sitting right outside are seven large buckets full of moist grain left over from brewing beer.
What does it smell like?
It just smells like oatmeal.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty much what it is. Put a little sugar on it, you got yourself some breakfast.
Garrity used to take the spent barley to Havre's compost site. It took a lot of time and was kind of messy. 3 years ago, Drew Newfield asked Garrity if he could take the barley to the wastewater treatment facility.
Just out of a kind of a thought that I had, I took the fermented organics from the brewery and added it, and we saw those bacteria bring our phosphorus levels lower.
Bacteria play a big role removing nitrogen and phosphorus at wastewater treatment facilities. But to be really effective, bacteria need some extra food at the end of the treatment process when they're starving for carbon and volatile fatty acids. Luckily, spent barley has both.
And so we began to do it over time. We started learning how much to add. You just shovel till it's light enough to dump the rest in.
Every morning, one of the operators dumps 16 gallons of spent barley into the water as it heads towards the treatment pools to give the hard-working bacteria a boost. Newfield says they were able to reduce the nitrogen and phosphorus levels and save the town a lot of money, $16,000 annually for a specific chemical treatment and possibly $1 million on another upgrade. The Environmental Protection Agency gave Havre an honorable mention at the end of last year for its innovative solution. Paul Driscoll with the Montana Department of Environmental Quality says, to the best of his knowledge, Havre is the only place in Montana using spent barley to treat wastewater. But with the recent award from the EPA, Drew Newfield says he's been getting more calls from communities both in and out of state interested in the possibility of using brewery waste. About 300 miles to the south, Bozeman tried something similar last summer with a pilot project at its water reclamation facility.
Here you can see all the tanks and everything. But I'll show you like the main part of what this project was.
Coraline Revis, an engineering consultant and project manager with HDR, looks down at the water as it moves between the different tanks. In some, the water is calm, in others, it bubbles like a jacuzzi. The facility treats over four times as much wastewater as Havre. Rather than using spent barley, Revis wanted to find out if the liquid waste from making beer could reduce the facility's nitrogen and phosphorus levels.
We have all these craft breweries. They make all of this high-strength waste, which is rich in carbon, which causes trouble, and it's what we're treating for coming into the plant.
Bozeman has more breweries than Haver. When they all dump their liquid waste down the drain, the water reclamation facility has to absorb it all and treat it. Revis says her team figured out that controlling the flow and feeding it to the bacteria at the end of the treatment process turned a problem into a solution. During the pilot project, she worked with Matt Brewing to siphon the liquid waste into a separate tank, and the city hauled it to the facility.
We had a tank of brewery waste that we put over there on the ground, and then we ran some little peristaltic pumps up and hooked them to, like, there's a mixer under here.
Revis says this method dropped the nitrogen and phosphorus levels, but Bozeman's water reclamation facility stopped using it once the pilot project ended.
Being able to go, like, truck and pick up all of the brewery waste when you need it and coordinate all that, like, it would take a full-scale program to be able to do that all the time.
Since the facility's nitrogen and phosphorus levels are allowed with its current permit from Montana DEQ, Revis says it would be hard for Bozeman to justify spending public money on developing a new program. The pilot project alone, which was funded by her company HDR, was $10,000. It lasted less than 2 months.
There are stricter regulations coming, so in the future that might be a good choice for them.
With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.